You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. Here by myself real quick, we hosted a Spotify Green Room chat last night after the Dodgers win over the Mets. So that will be the bulk of the episode. The Dodgers won 4-1, seventh straight win, picked up half a game on the Giants who didn't play, and a bullpen game, another bullpen game that went very well for the Dodgers. And yeah, it was a good game. We talked about the game. We talked about the bullpen. We talked a little bit about Trevor Bauer, who had his restraining order dropped. The court denied the long-term restraining order. That doesn't mean too much right now. There's still a pending criminal investigation, still a pending MLB investigation, so we won't know anything. But that's what happened there. We talk about that a little bit. We talk about the new City Connect jerseys, and then we also talked about just the general Dodgers catching the Giants, the vibe between 2018, 2021, and things like that. So let's hop right into it. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, here it is.
How are you doing, Jason Hernandez?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, man.
Dodgers games are fun these days. I mean,
yeah, you know, I was just going to say, I said it on a video I'm about to tweet out, that this was just a very business-like win. You know, there's nothing that exciting, you know, a couple big hits, but, you know, mostly just kind of, all right, we have a lead. Okay. Oh, the pitching is dominating. Oh, the game's over. We won. Sweet. You know, those games are kind of nice sometimes. They don't all have to be intense.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday was the most chill game I've been to at the Ravine in a long time. aside from the getting there 3 hours early to find the quote unquote parking. And
yeah, it seems like all the drama yesterday was trying to get into the parking lot and into the stadium.
Yes. Yeah, but you know, I feel good about these last two wins because A, they were not one run. B, they were not high stress innings. Yesterday was the most chill game. Today even felt chill, mainly because it felt like they had command of that lead when they got it. Even though one run in the middle of the game, it didn't feel like it was going to snowball after that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a rally. It was, oh, we gave up a run, that's okay. Even though, you know, there's a guy in second with one out, and they did kind of get bailed out by some bad base running. But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like the Mets never really put up much of a fight, even with, you know, having a few hits, getting one run. It was never it never felt like the outcome was very much in doubt.
Yeah, which is why yesterday's game felt more like a coming out party for White. You know, going 7 1/3, no runs, that was great. And this is a testament to how good the bullpen is. As much crap as the bullpen sometimes gets, no, they're good. They're fine.
Yeah. Especially when they're healthy. You know, there's definitely been some guys in the Dodgers bullpen this year who we won't be sad if we never see them pitch for the Dodgers again, you know, and some of them we won't, you know, but that was because of injuries. But the guys who we saw today who really stood out, you know, Alex Vestia, just dominant. Like the Dodgers traded Dylan Flora for Alex Vestia, and Dylan Flora started off really hot with the Marlins this year. And you know, we were kind of trying to get people to remember the perspective, you know, the Dodgers have 6 years of Vestia. They only had 1 or 2 years left of Floro. And so, you know, it's a long-term thing, but then you look at, oh, also, by the way, this year, Alex Vestia is better than Dylan Flora. So it's like, you know, it's not even just the long run. It's like, oh yeah, also he's awesome. And then Blake Treinen, you know, we've talked so much on Locked On Dodgers about how when Blake Treinen misses bats, he is maybe the best relief pitcher in baseball. And, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but if you look at his last couple months, and we talked about him on the show the other day too, his last couple months, it's hard to compare anybody to him. And he is every bit as good in the last couple of months as he was in 2018 when he was the best relief pitcher in baseball.
Oh, you could absolutely make that argument. I mean, tonight he was unstoppable. He had everything going for him, even though this is not the best Mets lineup. Let's call it what it is. The Mets lineup is fine-ish.
Yeah, but Davis is a pretty good hitter, and Blake Treinen made him look like he had never taken a major league at-bat in his life or even a college at-bat. Like, he looked like a little leaguer trying to hit a major league pitcher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Nomar nailed it.
Conforto looks silly.
Yeah. Nomar nailed it in that J.D. Davis at-bat. It's like when you throw 98 with movement like Treinen does, like, the hitter has to be ready for that. And so when you throw him three straight wicked sliders, you know, that J.D. Davis never had a chance. Like, I feel sorry for J.D. Davis. He's probably questioning all his life decisions right now. Like, do I really want to be a Major League Baseball player? Because this is hard. And, yeah, it is hard when you're facing Blake Treinen.
Yeah, when you're facing a player of that caliber who, as you said, is one of the best relievers in all of baseball, which, again, you're not going to get that argument from me.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks well for the Dodgers coming up.
For
sure. If only they were in another division and would have a – you know, yeah. they're only 2.5 back.
Yeah. They've cut the lead in half in the last couple of days, you know.
Yep.
And so it's stranger things have happened. I think, you know, and they have the schedule advantage going forward. So it is – you know, I like where the Dodgers are at. Obviously, I'd like it more if they were 2.5 up. But, you know, where they're at right now is not a bad place to be. Hey, Justin Hicken, why don't you hop in here? And
I'm going to let those guys jump in there. I need to head off here. But always
hey,
good talking to you.
Thanks for being here, Jason. Yeah. Hey, Justin, are you ready to anoint Dylan Floro? We were just talking about Dylan Floro. Are you ready to anoint Blake Treinen as the Dodgers closer?
I like the matchup, Jeff. That's not me quoting Dave Roberts. That's what I say when I see Blake Treinen come in and face the meat of the opposition and just mow him down like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I am always in favor of matchups. And so in this case, you know, I think the reason that Treinen pitched today is because Kenley Jansen threw 24 pitches 2 days ago, and so they wanted to give him another day off, which – also is maybe progress as far as, you know, Dave Roberts' bullpen decision-making, if you want to look at it that way. So I don't think Treinen is necessarily taking Kenley's spot, but I would love if the Dodgers' bullpen was a bullpen that looked at matchups. And, yeah, if you've got whoever it is, Nimmo, Davis, or whoever was coming up, the meat of the lineup, yeah, put Blake Treinen in there because he is – your best reliever. And I know that there's egos and stuff to deal with there, but I don't want there to be a closer. I want there to be, okay, we need to get these outs and which innings would, you know, which parts of the lineup should we have which guys get, because that's the way to win. And I'm sure, I'm positive they're going to do that in the postseason. But I'd like to see them for sure kind of dig into that right now of saying, you know what, Kenley, no offense, but we don't have a closer anymore. You are one of our high leverage relievers, and we're going to deploy you as we see fit.
I liked it because you could have justified having him pitch to the top of the order, you know, 1, 2, 3. But I like that it's like, hey, this ninth inning isn't some wholly protected inning, and it's okay to let Treinen have a seat at the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Treinen's been so good that he absolutely deserves that.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market, hands down. You don't even have to do any testing. We did the testing for you. Built Bar's the winner. And right now, they have a new flavor, pistachio. I know pistachio is a big flavor for ice cream, so, and people like pistachio. So why not get a Built Bar of pistachio? They got 12 different flavors right now. You can try them all out in a mix box. You can try the flavors you want, whatever you want. Built Bars are great. They're great tasting. They're healthy. They're good for you. They're covered in chocolate. Not much more you could ask for. They got around under 180 calories, 17, 18 grams of protein, and then 4 to 5 gram net carbs, 4 to 5 grams of net sugar. It's everything you could want in a protein bar, and it's right there for you. You got built.com. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
Vince, what was it like at the stadium tonight, man?
Good. It was good. It was not as crowded as yesterday, but still a nice crowd. There was a lot of action. And, yeah, the bullpen game just worked to perfection, I'd say.
Yeah, it was I mentioned this earlier. It was just kind of businesslike. It was just, go in there, take care of business. Outcome never really in doubt. They scored, the second inning, I think? They put up those runs and never trailed. And coming against Taiwan Walker, who did kind of dominate them the last time they faced him, that was good to get some runs on the board early and then just tack on one here, one there. And that was plenty with what the bullpen was able to do today.
It was very 2020-esque in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking 2017 too, that summer when they just never seemed to lose and it was just kind of dominant. Oslo, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Jeff and Vince? Longtime listeners, thank you for taking my question. I don't know if you guys have covered it yet, but considering what came out today regarding, Trevor Bauer, there's just no way he's gonna pitch again for the Dodgers, right? And thank you, guys.
Yeah, well, thank you. We might as well touch on this. I don't want to spend too much time on Bauer because I like happy thoughts, and he's definitely not a provider of happy thoughts. Everybody has heard. We don't even need to recap, that what happened in the court hearing. All that stuff is elsewhere. I'm positive he's not going to pitch again for the Dodgers this year. But as for the future, I wish I knew. If it was up to the Dodgers, yeah, he'd never pitch again. And I am kind of softening to the idea that, if he does get suspended, he's going to get suspended. When he's done serving his suspension, I could see the Dodgers being able to get away with releasing him and eating the money. If they try to get out of the contract, that's where they could face a fight if they try to void his contract. But MLB might do them some favors there. But yeah, it is hard to see. We mentioned the other day, Dave Roberts is referring to Trevor Bauer or to the rest of the Dodgers as Trevor Bauer's former teammates, it seems like the Dodgers have moved on as much as they can. Right now they're at the mercy of Major League Baseball, just waiting to see what is going to happen there. But in the end, yeah, it is pretty hard to see him pitching for the Dodgers again.
Jeff, I only saw the last couple innings of the game, so I don't have much insight to begin with, but innings of the game. I'll kind of defer to you guys. But I did want to ask you, I guess, to, since I'm still in the speaker's room and then I'll hop out, but do you see, possibly with the Monday off day coming up, the Dodgers do what you kind of mentioned on one of these other episodes and try to get some space in between, Scherzer and Bueller or Julio or something like that so they can stagger these bullpen games a little bit better?
Well, I think the main hope is that they don't have to do so many bullpen games here in the near future. It seems like Julio is going to be back pretty close to as soon as he's eligible to come off the injured list. And then I still think that Andre Jackson is probably, the Dodgers. Jackson has to be down for 10 days unless there's an injury to somebody else. But with the Dodgers, there's always an injury to find. They optioned Mitch White too today. And so that gets a little bit trickier. They have two guys who can't come back up unless there's guys on the IL, but finding two IL spots probably isn't that hard for the Dodgers either. And so I am interested to see. We actually got an email from a listener named Dale asking why the Dodgers did another bullpen day today. Why would they bump Bueller back from regular rest, give him an extra day of rest when they're so short on starters anyway? And I think they do have a master plan. And I think it's something that 2 or 3 weeks from now, we'll look back and say, okay, that makes sense why they did all that right now in the heat of it, because they haven't really, Dave Roberts isn't one to share all his plans. And so they haven't really said, here's what we're thinking, but I wouldn't be surprised at all, Justin, if one of the things they are looking to do is get somebody between Scherzer and Bueller. That would have made, I don't know if this move right now, today's bullpen game, was with that in mind. But like you said, you know, with Monday's off day, they could maybe mess with things. I don't know. And they may not care. Maybe they're thinking once we get Julio back, hopefully get Kershaw back soon, and we'll have an actual rotation and it won't be that big a deal. Or if they feel like, you know, maybe they go with a Andre Jackson, Mitch White kind of piggyback thing for some starts. So it's not a true bullpen game. Because, yeah, these never-ending twice-a-week bullpen games, it's not a sustainable way of going forward. But it's worked for them so far, and I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel because, you know, Julio seems on track, and they do have these minor league guys who can maybe help with things. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I think right now they're kind of just trying to survive, you know, weather the storm of only having two starting pitchers. So that's kind of my thoughts on that.
I think I got better savers now.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But, yeah, I think, honestly, if they would have wanted to do that, they could have done it with Buehler regular rest, bullpen game on Friday, and then Scherzer Saturday. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the plan is exactly. Like I said, Julio should be back. Kershaw is just on his – if he's healthy and gets on the throwing program, he's eligible to come off the first week of – I think right before the Giants series in SF. So, theoretically, they could get him back for that. So, that's not that long away. It was this week where they really needed to get by. Mitch White obviously helped them out a lot. Andre Jackson helped them out a lot. And now they're kind of in a good spot where they'll have three starting pitchers. Gonsolin threw off a mound today. He might be back soon. So they're at the point where they're going to roll into September with a little bit of health, hopefully, and you not have to worry about bullpen games, or they'll have enough arms to kind of, like you said, piggyback maybe one way through the rotation.
Yeah, and you know, we can't overstate what a big deal it was for Mitch White to do what he did yesterday, because, you know, the Dodgers used seven pitchers today, but even then, like, going into the Buehler and Scherzer part of the rotation, it's like the bullpen isn't overworked because they don't have anybody who's thrown back-to-back days right now. You know, they have two guys who threw multiple innings today, so they won't be available tomorrow. But other than that, you know, pretty much everybody's available going into the weekend, which is a really good situation to be in, considering how hard the bullpen has had to work the last several days. So, Vince, let's talk about the City Connect uniforms. That was kind of the big news of the day that didn't have to do with Trevor Bauer, and, you know, the happier news. And I don't know. I don't want to – I haven't said much about them on Twitter. I went back and forth, but I think I like them. I think I like them quite a bit other than the hats.
I don't hate them. You know, the thing for, like, the video, the story behind it is all good. Obviously, they are very closely resembling the spring training jerseys. So, and then the word Doyers and Dodgers was kind of the main debate I saw. Honestly, I don't know why the hats – I saw a lot more slander for the hats than I thought. I don't have an issue with them. They're not anything – like, they're – I've seen hats like that with the script Dodgers before. Now they just had the Los on it. I guess I'm not a, like, before I used to be a purist more for, like, just the LA hat, but now I have, like, a wide variety of different Dodger hats. So maybe I'm more open to it at this point.
Yeah. For me, it's two things. One is it's the same thing that's on the jersey. And so it's like, whatever, you know, it seems repetitive. And also I'm just not a fan of full words on hats. And maybe that's just a personal preference, but yeah, I really like the blue on blue. I wouldn't like it if this was the full, you know, a full-time uniform. One of my favorite things about the Dodgers is that they don't do alternate uniforms very often at all. And so I kind of like that this is nothing too flashy, that it kind of looks like if you just glance, you'd be like, oh, I think I've seen them wear that jersey before. You know, and then, oh, no, it's brand new. Oh, it's brand new? Oh, okay. Well, I've seen him wear something like that, you know, and I kind of like that because, you know, we've seen how bad the Giants ones are. Those are so bad. You know, and it's not even – I don't think the Giants – it's even the same color orange. I don't think it's their orange. It's like, why would you use orange and not use the orange that's associated with your team? And I was worried that the Dodgers were going to do that. And so I would have been fine with a powder blue like they did for those throwbacks 10 years ago or whatever. But I like that it's Dodger blue, and, you know, it's not something ridiculous like the Diamondbacks with their mismatched jerseys and Pants. So all in all, I'm actually a really big fan of them.
That time of year again when football joins baseball and everybody's eyes are on the two sports. But teams are getting back on the gridiron and the football season is getting underway. So as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champ Bucks and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, baseball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
As for the Los Doyers instead of Los Dodgers, I'd be interested in your insight on this, Vince, because I had heard, and I don't know how accurate this is, because as you mentioned on Twitter, there is still Los Doyers gear that you can buy that, you know, the Dodgers, I think, have the copyright on Los Doyers. But I had heard they used to sell it was basically just a chili dog, a chili cheese dog, but it was called the Doyer dog. And I had heard that they stopped selling it because they got complaints that it was racially insensitive to spell it Doyer, even though that's how a lot of Spanish speakers pronounce it, and so that there were some actual racism issues that was the reason they didn't have the Doyer dog anymore.
I mean, I can understand that. And I think that's probably what laid into it more so than like the copyright, because there is Nike gear with that, the Los Doyers. And then the Fanatics has like the regular gear that's not Nike that also says it. You know, I can see if it's one of those, like, it's, you know, kind of like the term Latinx for me. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't really use it for myself, but if other people want to use it, that's fine. If there's people that are offended by it, I can understand it. But I think at this point, it's kind of one of those things that people take it for what it is, kind of like Speedy Gonzalez. Speedy Gonzalez, you know, not a caricature, I would say, because he's from Mexico or whatever the case is. So I think it's one of those that it's a term that's generally accepted at this point, at least from everyone that I know. But I can see it's one of those where if they're going to get pushback from anywhere or maybe some kind of group out there, that they would want to just generally avoid it. But for me, it does take away a little bit, because, like, you know, realistically, nobody's saying Los Dodgers. We're saying Los Doyers.
Yeah. And I guess one other thought is it's one thing to have merchandise available for sale for people who want to buy it, but to actually put that on the front of all the players' jerseys, you know, that it is, if there are concerns about racial sensitivity or, you know, ethnic sensitivity, it is something you'd probably want to avoid putting on their chest. So Trevor Jensen, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jeff, I told you I'd listen in today.
Man, so I'm glad my guilt trip worked on you. Glad you're here.
Hey, it was good. It's a good day to be a Dodger. 7-game winning streak. Are you loving this? With the staff we have right now too, it's not like it's our A game on the mound, but they're playing well, they're pitching well. I love seeing Trinan just honestly dominate. When's the last time he gave up a run?
Yeah, I think it was June 23rd. And yeah, you know, you make a good point. It's not like the Dodgers suddenly got healthy, all their guys came back, and that's when they went on a roll. It was just, you know, no, we're still kind of banged up. We still only have 2.5 starting pitchers, but we're just gonna win a bunch of games. And, you know, I don't know if the Mets are a bad team or not. You know, the Dodgers, they've won 4 straight against the Mets. They won 3 straight against the Pirates. And so, you know, and before that it was the Phillies that they won that series. And, you know, so it's not like these teams are world beaters, but, you know, it's who's on the schedule for one thing. And they're definitely better than, you know, the D-backs and Rockies who the Giants were beating. And so, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about where things are. I think it will be interesting to see when the Dodgers take on the Padres here soon. You know, the Padres are pretty banged up too. But I think if the Dodgers can go into San Diego and make a big statement there, that will go a long way to saying, all right, this is the Dodgers we expected this year.
Mm-hmm. We've been waiting, I think, all year for like that. Oh, okay. This is the breakout moment. A big trade that'll get momentum, or we get some of these guys back from injury. And it feels like we're on the verge of that. I don't think we have our complete, you know, playoff push team quite yet. Obviously, we need to get everybody healthy, and it'd be interesting to see if you can get Duffy into the rotation somehow and get Kershaw back in. Obviously, got to get Julio playing. But how clutch are these young guys that are coming in? And really, I mean, you look at this pitching staff and you go, that's a staff that if you could get everybody healthy, they're back. So I'm really excited. We're sitting here loving this. On the jerseys, I would love a blue top, white bottom LA hat. That's what I would vote for. Los Doyers up top, blue, white pants. That's our city edition.
So and basically just the spring training uniform, but with a Los on front of it.
Yeah, maybe it's too simple. You either had to give a nod to Brooklyn with the powder blues with the B on the hat, or you had to do something with LA.
I wouldn't have minded seeing like LA but in more of a script, you know, still LA on the hat, but something to match the font of the Los Dodgers on the jersey or something. I don't know. There's a lot of things they could have done, and what they did isn't bad. So I'm all right with that. So
yep.
On the topic of the Dodgers getting healthy, Mookie Betts, there's a little bit of news there. Mookie Betts said today that he is pain-free, and Dave Roberts said he's hoping to get Mookie off on a rehab assignment soon and hopefully get him back next week, which would then, you know, Billy McKinney had a big hit for the Dodgers today, but he's probably been getting a lot more playing time than would be ideal for the Dodgers. So getting Mookie back could be, you know, they haven't really gotten a chance to have Mookie and Trey Turner and everybody in the lineup together. And so that could be a big deal for the Dodgers going forward if they can get a healthy Mookie back.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have to. I see the Giants really putting the push on that division. It's not going to go easy. And then to try to have the best record in the NL, you're going to have Milwaukee probably making a pretty healthy push. So, yeah, we got to get healthy, and this momentum has got to be September momentum.
Brandon in the chat asked, Trey Turner or Mookie Betts leading off? Vince, I don't know if you're on mute because your connection's bad again or if you're available. So.
I'm available. I was hopping on the freeway, so I didn't want to have background noise.
I respect
but,
that.
But can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, I think you got to go with how he did it the last time where Trey Turner's leading off and Mookie's, I don't know if the three hole's the right spot. Probably. I like Muncie in the two hole right now, kind of playing that Seager role last year. If Seager gets hot again, they might move him up, but it seems like Roberts likes having, you know, Muncie up there with Trey Turner kind of getting on base and being able to move around. So, and I really like Trey Turner in the leadoff spot. Mookie down a little bit. We're not sure, you know, it's one of those things where Mookie's been good overall the whole year. He's had some peaks and valleys and obviously the injuries. So I think having Trey Turner in the way he's going this season, you know, might win the batting title with the speed up there, just kind of wrecking havoc a little bit. I think they might stay right there.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Mookie, even if he's feeling great, he's not going to be Mookie Betts of old with the legs, you know. And so you don't want to put him in leadoff where he feels that pressure to be the spark plug on the bases, you know. Put him in the middle of the lineup where he can, you know, hopefully drive in some runs and then get driven into, you know, still – you know, obviously we want his wheels on the bases, but I think there's a little bit less pressure to be super fast Mookie if he's not batting in the leadoff spot. And his bat, when he's right, he can definitely hold his own in the three spot for sure.
Yeah. And I see JT as Jay Turner fifth. I mean, they might go, this is the thing now when they get healthy, Dave Roberts is, I mean, if he can get to a lineup and stick to it, that'd be ideal. You know, they have those guys. They don't really have any guys that are going to be platoon guys. Maybe Bellinger maybe Bellinger, Taylor are in the outfield some days or whatever the case is. But, I mean, just looking at the lineup yesterday, this tonight's lineup, he had Bellinger batting eighth, and obviously he's struggling this year. But, you know, if he can get to 60% of what he was in 2019, and that's seeming the way he's trending right now, he's been playing better a lot lately. Bellinger in the eighth spot is just ridiculous and justified in the eighth spot to where everyone above him is either playing better or been better the whole season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, AJ Pollock has batted near the bottom of the lineup sometimes too, and justifiably, even though he's been awesome, you know? And so that's kind of what the Dodgers were trying to build, is this lineup where there are no holes, there are no breaks for the pitcher. And kind of by definition, when you have a lineup with no breaks, you're going to have a really good hitter batting eighth.
Yeah, and it's back to the point, you know, I brought up this point before, but they're back in control of their own destiny, technically. If they sweep the Giants, NSF, and, you know, theoretically, how you go about it, thinking about controlling your own destiny, they would have the tiebreaker over the Giants. Well, for a home game, I guess, they would still have to play game 163 if it came down to the same record. But they would own the tiebreaker, and they, you know, control the fact that they can be in first place at the end of the season.
Charlie O, what's up, man?
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey, I was good, just curious on your thoughts. Does it seem like we're striking out a lot more than we used to?
It hasn't stood out to me. I mean, some guys are, you know, there's always been some struggles with strikeouts, and there's, you know, Will Smith is one that I've thought it seems like he's striking out a little bit more than I'm used to. But overall, as a team, it doesn't seem to me abnormally high. I don't know, Vince, does it seem like it to you?
I think there's certain guys. I think I looked on one of the episodes I did solo or split, whatever the case is. When I looked up Max Muncy, I thought it seemed like he was struggling, and the overall numbers were still good, but he was striking out at a higher clip than he was earlier in the season and in his career. Chris Taylor's been a little bit of a struggle too, and he's probably striking out a little bit more. So I think there's individual guys that are striking out a little bit more. So in the grand scheme, you know, if Muncy's striking out one more time a game, Taylor's striking out one more time a game, and then someone else, Will Smith, striking out one more time a game, well, that's three extra strikeouts than they had before. So I think it does seem that way a little bit, and I'm sure the numbers might reflect that if we dove deep into it.
Yeah, Justin Turner went through a stretch a couple weeks ago too where he seemed like he was – striking out more. I haven't noticed it as much the last few games. I haven't looked at the numbers, but yeah, that's interesting. I will dig into that, dig into the numbers and see if they actually have been or not. That's an interesting question, Charlie. I hadn't noticed it. So,
all right, those were the highlights from last night's Green Room. Make sure to hop on with us on Spotify Green Room every time we run a show to hear all the topics and everything that happens in the room, be part of the show, whatever the case may be. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends, family, coworkers, and people in your life about Locked On Dodgers. We are here every Monday through Friday, so they can check us out whenever they want. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. So here's my advice, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!